Vrindavan is a transcendental place. By transcendental, it means it's not of this world. It's not created at the time of creation. It's not annihilated at the time of darkness. It's eternally existing. And there's a term, we have these two terms, Goloka, Krishna in his spiritual goal, in the Vaikuntha realm, the largest and the sweetest of all the spiritual planets in the spiritual sky is Goloka Vrindavan, and there's its counterpart, or a spiritual planet, a spiritual abode within this universe, happens to be on this planet within this universe, or not on the planet, but surrounding that abode is our planet, and it's Vrindavan. These are verses that we chanted from Sri Brahma Sangha. The beginning verses before these Govinda prayers, there's a description of Goloka. In that description it says Goloka and Gokula, the spiritual world above and the realm here, are the same. They're transcendentally identical, they're not different. Except that one is here and one is there. In Brihadbhagavatamrita, there's a main character of part two of Brihadbhagavatamrita, is Gopal Kumar. He's a cowboy, Gopal Kumar. He's a cowboy. And he was born in Vrindavan. And he received a mantra from a great spiritual personality who he didn't even know the name of, but he was very attracted to this spiritual personality who gave him his mantra, and then surprisingly just disappeared. But Gokumar understood this mantra that he had received was very special, was sacred. He didn't know what it meant. He didn't know how he was supposed to chant it. He didn't know if he was supposed to chant it silently or aloud during certain times of the day or all day long. He had no instruction. But he had great faith in this mantra. And many great adventures took place as Gopal Kumar was searching for the object of his mantra, Madan Gopal, the object of his mantra, the deity of his mantra. And so many wonderful things happened, but at the end, he reaches Goloka Vrindavan. It's such a beautiful scene. When he reaches Goloka Vrindavan, he doesn't know where he is. So he asks the people who live there, where am I? What is this place? And who is in charge? And no one even answered him. They thought, this is very rude. They won't even say hello, or how are you, or answer my questions. They just walked right by. And different persons, he became more anxious. He approached so many persons, find me. When an elderly lady spoke to him and said, this is Goloka. And the person in charge is Krishna. And the reason why no one will speak to you is there is such pain of separation from Krishna because he's gone to the forest. But just now it's the afternoon, and if you see, so many people are running in the direction of Krishna, because he's soon going to emerge from the forest with the cows. I must go now. And she just left. Gopal Kumar saw so many Vrishvasis running, not walking, running in a certain direction. So he began running in that direction. What a beautiful description. He saw in the distance some dust rising. It was the dust from the hooves of the calves as they were approaching the valley. And then he heard the sound of Krishna's buffalo horn. And when Krishna sounded his buffalo horn, all the cowherd boys, tumultuous sound of their buffalo horn. Announcing to the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna was returning to Vrindavan. And everyone began to run faster. So Gopal Kumar started running faster. Madan Gopal, he saw in the distance Krishna and Balaram, the crowd of the cowherd boys. And he knew that's Madan Gopal. So he ran like the wind. And Madan Gopal, Krishna, saw him. And Krishna ran towards Gopal Kumar. Both of them with their arms outstretched. As they were approaching one another, they were in such ecstasy of seeing one another once again. Krishna fainted. And Gopal Kumar fainted. Right there. All the residents of Vrindavan. Balaram came over, and he was very upset. You caused Krishna to faint. Look what you've done. Gopal Kumar gave his external consciousness first. And Krishna was still lying on the ground unconscious. Just then Krishna opened his eyes. And he looked. And again he saw Gopal Kumar. And he stood up. And at once embraced him firmly to his chest and said to Gopal Kumar, "At last you come back. I was waiting for you so long. I thought maybe this lifetime you'll return. But you didn't return. And then I thought maybe the next lifetime you'll come. But you didn't come. And then the next lifetime, I was hoping he would come, but you didn't come. And I was in such a state of desperation. I came to you. I was the guru who gave you the mantra of Madan Gopal so you could purify yourself and come back to me. Now that you're back, please never go away, ever again." Gopal was in tears. And many other events followed. It was such a beautiful scene, indicating a soul returning back home. Back to God. We've all heard that phrase. It's a DVD publication, read it. The commentary is there of Sanatana Goswami. He wrote the book and he wrote a commentary on the book. It is so beautiful. It's very deep. But it's so beautiful. The soul returned back home, back to Godhead. How anxious Krishna is for us to return back home, back to Godhead. We've heard Prabhupada say, "You take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 100 steps towards you." You heard that? Krishna is more anxious for us to return than we have even a fragment of desire to return. We're attached to our suffering in the material world. Although we don't think it's suffering, we think of it as enjoyment. We'll keep crying like a donkey. Keep trying for enjoyment. Carry the load. Get some enjoyment. It is suffering every time. The biggest suffering is forgetfulness of our loving relation with Krishna. That's the biggest suffering. something that will help us overcome being stuck in the material world is recognizing that we're stuck in the material world. Recognizing the fight. We are the architects of our own misfortune. Sadasat Yoni Janasu, in the language of Bhagavad Gita. We create our own good fortune, ill fortune. We can't blame it on the instrument of our ill fortune or good fortune. We're the architects of our own good fortune, ill fortune. And when you recognize the with humility, the foolishness of our position within the material world, it's very good. It invites that Buddha humility, invites taking shelter of those who are in the position of safety in our line of specific succession. Of course, there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're followers of Rupa Goswami. So, in Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami was given his residence by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm going to describe one of those residences in a little bit of detail. I'm taking you to Vrindavan, through Sun. So, as I said, Vrindavan is nothing but Krishna. And we hear from the Sat Goswami Astakam that the six Goswamis didn't keep any fixed residence. We hear they slept under a different tree every night. And in Vrindavan, it's more hot, or hotter, than it is in Guyana in August and September. That's so I came during the hottest month. It's much hotter than Vrindavan. Much hotter than Vrindavan. So one of the things that people do when it's very hot or very cold is they build a stone building. And so in the winter, it can stay more warm. And in the summer, it can stay more cool. But they didn't have stone buildings. They didn't stay there. They were stone buildings. But they lived outdoors in the heat of the summer and cold of the winter. And one of those places where Rupa Goswami did stay under a grove of trees, kadamba trees. Kadamba trees they're really big and very fragrant flowers. It's one of Krishna's favorite trees. In fact, there's a whole grove of kadamba trees in this particular area. And the location of it's called Ter Kadamba. Ter Kadamba. It's positioned just at the foot, or near the base of Nandagram. Nandagram is a big hill with five peaks. And on top of one of those peaks is Nanda Maharaj's palace. And there are many other nice things on the other peaks at Nandagram. And it's a very, very special place because Krishna lived there. For many years, that was like accident, like the cenotia or the center of the world of the lotus of Vrindavan. And northeast of Nandagram is Yada. Yada is the place where Srimati Radharani lived when she was the so-called wife of the so-called husband Abhimanyu. Because Abhimanyu's mother and sister lived there, Jitkila and Katkila and Abhimanyu, and Radharani stayed there. The Ter Kadamba was midway, very close, actually closer to Nandagram. So it was a rendezvous place for Radha and Krishna. But it was also a place where Krishna, at the end of the day, as he was bringing cows, like that little description I gave you of Krishna leaving the forest, as Krishna was leaving the pasture ground of Vrindavan, he came to hear Kadamba. And he would climb on top of one of the Kadamba trees, and he would count and call by name each of the groups of cows. And when Krishna would call, because there were 600,000 cows, he knew the names of each of the cows. And he had his favorite cows. But he would call out the name of each of the groups, and they would respond. And then he would call the name of the other group. And for some time he was on top of the Kadamba tree, calling the names of the cows. It was under one of those Kadamba trees that Rupa Goswami would sit and write his transcendental literature, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we have in the form of Nectar of Devotion. And those of you that have read Nectar of Devotion, you'll know that there are passages that describe separation between Radha and Krishna, and meaning between Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami's mood of bhakti was so deep and profound that when he was writing about separation of Radha and Krishna, the Kadamba tree under which he was sitting shed all its leaves like tears crying in the mood of separation. And then another passage would come where Radha and Krishna would be meeting. And the Kadamba tree immediately produced leaves and Kadamba flowers. Like, yeah, doesn't matter the season. Just from the spiritual mood of Rupa Goswami. So when you go to Vrindavan, please remember the name of this place, Ker Kadamba. And go there. It's near Nandagram. Whoever takes you, they'll know where Ker Kadamba is. It's a very sublime place. And today, there's agricultural fields all around, but there's still some remaining Kadamba trees to grow Kadamba trees. And you go inside the grove. And in the grove, you'll find one little temple. Little temple inside a grove of trees. And inside the temple is a deity, Rasa deity, Krishna Balaram. Because Krishna Balaram would go there every day. And above the altar, inscribed in Sanskrit, it's not in English, so you can't read it unless you read Sanskrit, but it's a verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami, describing his affection and his love for Rupa Goswami. We're followers of Rupa Goswami. Of course, yes, we're supposed to be followers of Rupa Goswami. Here is the kind of following of Rupa Goswami that Raghunath Das Goswami felt. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Guru of Lord Chaitanya's followers, meaning he exemplifies the highest perfection of love, prema bhakti, in his highest stages of love. He's up there. He's as far up there as we can go. Raghunath Das Goswami. He sees himself subordinate to Rupa Goswami, and he wrote a very, very beautiful verse. It's in Mukta Charita, and it's written in Sanskrit, and I'm going to speak it. It's very short. Adhananas chanam dantayar. Adhananas means taking, twin, means straw. sometimes you speak. Sometimes. Taking a straw within my teeth, if you have kids who are not of these things, you know, giving yourself more humble than a straw in the street. Adhavanana, Trinadhantaya, taking a, with all humility, taking a straw in my teeth. Idam yate, I beg, puna, puna, again and again, with all humility at my command, like Prabhupada said, with all humility, I take a straw in my street and I'm begging again and again. Srimad Rupa Padam Bhuja. Ambuja means like a lotus. If you have somebody's ladies here in Delhi. Ambuja grows from mud. That's the meaning, lotus. The Pada Ambuja, a lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. I want to take the dust, I beg again and again to take the dust from Rupa Goswami and smear it all over my body, life after life. That's his aspiration. He who is as far as you can go, seriously, sees himself subordinate to Rupa Goswami and wishes to have the dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami upon his head and smeared upon his body. Dhubi Syam, Janma, Janmani, birth after birth. This is his aspiration. This is humility. The humility of a Vaishnava is profound. The humility of Raghunath Das Goswami is beyond our imagination. But it's the way in which following our great charis is the way by which we can receive the gift of going back to Godhead. That our founder charis to the Prabhupada wanted all of us to receive. Recognizing our position, we're seeking for, searching for happiness, and not finding that happiness that we're searching for. So we continue searching for it in a different way. We keep modifying and adjusting the details of duality, and never find that happiness we're looking for, because it's not to be found here. Good fortune comes, a new light goes on, and you're feeling it. Maybe there's something wrong with this program. The material is doing this program. I wish to, deep inside myself, I know there's another reality. We all have that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, we'd be doing something else on a nice Saturday afternoon. There's something inside each one of us that says there's another happiness, there's another reality that's inside. I know it's there. And when that little light, that little flame is glowing, Krishna sends some representatives, just like the Gopal Kumar was sent by Krishna himself, Madan Gopal himself, in the form of a Brahmana. The Brahmana's name, which is disclosed in the beginning, but later his name is identified, Jana Sharma. But it's actually Krishna. Because our teaching says, the strict nectar devotion teaches, Rupa Goswami teaches, that the spiritual masters should be seen as the direct manifestation or representative of Krishna. And to see otherwise is wrong, or it's an offense. One shouldn't see like that. One should see the representative of Krishna in that messenger of Krishna, bringing the good fortune and the good news of the spiritual world from Krishna, directly delivering it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes it in this way.
You're an ocean of mercy, and I'm begging for
God, of that ocean of mercy, because our capacity is very small. We drown in the ocean, just so a drop. But the drop is so huge, so vast, so complete, it can carry us out of material existence into the spiritual realm. When I attended a number of initiation lectures, I should have called by the invariably when speaking on initiation covered to discuss two verses. So I'm going to similarly discuss two verses. One of them is from Mundaka Upanishad, where he's describing this inquisitiveness. Tati Gyanar Kam Sadhuram Eva Abhigachet. Samarthani Trotinam Brahmashtam. So, that inquisitive person, when one wants to know what is the alternative to this struggle for material existence, struggle for happiness, what's the alternative? I sincerely want to know. I don't want to just keep doing it over and over again. I sincerely want to know. The verse says, for such a person who sincerely wants to know, it's imperative. I don't know Sanskrit so much, but Prabhupada speaks of this verse that it's a must, it's not an option. I think I should check. Must. Sadhguru Eva Abhigachet. One must find a spiritual master. It's imperative. And what should be one's move when approaching the spiritual master? The verse says, Samitthani. Samitthani means carrying wood in your hand. What is the implication Prabhupada claims is, in Vedic culture there's fire sacrifices, the yajna, to assist the guru in performance of yajna, just like Krishna did and Sudama did. They went to get firewood for Samitthani Muni, for the yajna. Humble service is the indication of Samitthani. Approach such qualified person with an mood of humility, like Raghunath Das Goswami, without me to say it again, without humility, we're not going to advance. If we think, if there's pride in the heart, if we think, I can do it, I can make some happiness happen in this place of no happiness, it's a fool's paradise. One will not be able to progress spiritually, substantially, spiritually. So that humility within one's heart, the eagerness to render some simple service, samitthani. And then, shrotriyam, brahmanishtam. Shrotriyam means the spiritual master's qualification is that he's heard. Shrotriyam, the conclusions of the scriptures. And brahmanishtam, nishtha. You know this word from our teaching. It's one of the stages of advancement in spiritual life, the nishtha stage. Such a qualified person can convince others and fix them in that same position of firm conviction in the process of devotional service. Ramani Upashamash, Ramana, means that they have set aside all material considerations. Why come to Guyana in August? It's too hot. Why come at all? Why do anything? If it's for service to Krishna, then that's all the answer this one needs, regardless of the externals. It's a qualification, according to this Mundaka Upanishad verse. It's something that a candidate to make spiritual progress should examine and see, is this qualification there? Is the person who I'm wishing to take shelter of, to hear from, and to guide me in spiritual life, are these qualifications there? There's three that's mentioned. Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam, and Upasamashtriyam. Fixed in knowledge of the Vedas, capable of convincing others of the same, and setting aside all material considerations. approach such a person in a humble mood and inquire from them, sincerely inquire from them, how can I progress further on this path of transcendental service to Krishna? Another verse, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Shreya Uttama. I like listening to Prabhupada lectures because I don't know Sanskrit at all. I use another language, and Prabhupada very carefully explains the meanings of words. It's nice because words are symbols. When you don't know what the word means, and you hear from the founder Charya what the word means, it's very special. So, Prabhupada explains this word Shreya. He said it's contrasting to Preya. Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas means short-term benefit, like a child that wants to play. And Shreyas means long-term benefit. No. At 5 years old, you must go to school. You defer the short-term for the longer-term benefits. And then Shreya, Uttama, is the topmost long-term benefit. So the duty of a disciple or a sincere inquirer in spiritual life is Shreya Jikyasu. He's inquisitive about Shreya Uttama, the long-term ultimate benefit. Like, you know, what's the destination of the soul? Or, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? I'm taking birth in this human form of life, and it's really complicated. How am I supposed to use this human form of life? What's the purpose? How is it to be used? That's those kinds of questions. For such a person, jikyasu shreya uttama. One requires a spiritual master, and into that contact, Krishna sends. We hear this over and over. Krishna sends. When Krishna sees, because Krishna is in our heart, and he sees there's some sincerity there. This person wants to know. So Krishna sends. And then we just simply have to accept that messenger and the message of the messenger. And that's what's happening here. The initiation ceremony is a formalization of not just relationship with a particular spiritual master, but formalization of relationship with our specific succession. Because the spiritual master is but a representative of our specific succession. Prabhupada called it the immediate link. So the link is like the chain. Another link, and another link, and another link. But the other end of the chain is Krishna. And there is the immediate link. But the immediate link are present initiating gurus and shiksha gurus. Their service is just represented the previous acharyas who are connecting us to Rupa Goswami, who is connecting us to Lord Chaitanya, who is connecting us to Radha and Krishna. Immediate link. So initiation means submission unto the disciplic succession and Krishna. And it means reciprocation, acceptance by the disciplic succession and Krishna. And that's glorious. But at the beginning, Prabhupada chose the word to translate the word diksha as initiation. As in a beginning, like when you initiate a journey. Like this morning we were in Ukraine and we began our journey to come over here. So, initiation has that meaning, carries that significance. So this is the beginning. I mean, there was something before the beginning. It was preparation for the beginning. And then, the formal acceptance by the specific succession and Krishna. And then the beginning of yet another important journey, a phase of life, where you have been, after initiation, situation, totally accepted. And then you have a big opportunity to go back to Godhead. And a big responsibility to utilize that gift that we've been given properly and to represent the district of succession properly. Big responsibility. Big opportunity. Nothing gold can buy. You can't buy with any amount of gold buy your way back to Godhead. But with this acceptance by the disciplic succession and submission of the disciplic succession, the cycle of birth and death can be ended in the path back home back to Godhead, where Krishna is eagerly awaiting. Krishna is eagerly awaiting. Read that passage in towards the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 2. Such a beautiful description. Krishna is awaiting us. He doesn't want to see us struggling. He wants to see us with him in happy condition. And the process of devotional service that begins from the chanting of the holy name is an opportunity being provided for all of us. This is, these initiates are being initiated into the Harinam Diksha, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone can take part in. No qualifications needed, just be a spirit soul. Pretty much everybody. Highest or impious, good fortune, low fortune, young or old, educated, uneducated. This culture, that culture, this language, that language, doesn't matter. There's no material qualification, disqualification, just be a spirit soul. And take the holy name, and chant the holy name, and do that with regularity. And by following the regular principles carefully and following the submission to the holy name, one can be similarly qualified by this. To then very carefully avoid, to progress further, very carefully avoid the 10 offenses against chanting. There they are, big sign, you don't know what they are, read them, recite them, avoid them. And enter into the full nectar for which the holy name readily makes available. Unfortunately, we don't taste that because of our unbelief. Guru died in Kirtusha Mahaj and Mahada Mahada. But we can change that misfortune by properly applying ourselves to the beginning of the chanting process, by genuine submission to Krishna. And with that, letting go of our entanglements in material enjoyments of temporary so-called happiness of this world. We must do our duties. This is not an appeal for being irresponsible. One should perform one's duties in a very careful, diligent, responsible, Krishna-conscious way. But not for the purpose of gathering items for sense gratification, collecting paraphernalia for sense gratification. Simply for service to Krishna. One who takes care of their duties of life in that consciousness can chant Hare Krishna in a very joyful manner. So, you five candidates have been practicing Krishna consciousness carefully, and the devotees have encouraged you in that process. You'll be recommended for your initiation, and there it is. So recognize the opportunity that you have to continue going further. Very carefully follow the process, very carefully represent this specific succession that has accepted you. Not just your Diksha Guru, so many other personalities presently who are helping to guide and support and train you in your Krishna consciousness. Certainly our Dhanur Acharya, on behalf of all of us who were simply serving his will, his mission, his mercy. And through him, the mercy of the whole Pacific succession. Great opportunity. Don't spoil it. Don't dismiss it. Don't utilize it for some other way. Take full advantage. daughter of Bhishmaka. And Bhishmaka is the king of Vidarbha. So his daughter also named Vidarbha Sutta. And I invite you one day to meet Vedanta Madhava. At the end of Vedanta Madhava, it's disclosed that Rukmini is actually Srimati Radharani, and Radha and Krishna become married in Dwarka.
Some more or less the same name, maybe with some slight adjustments.
is in the same name. Just like God has made.